Welcome to the broadcast of the Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, where Daryl Jackson is our pastor. We're located at 2440 Atlas Road in Columbia, South Carolina, and we're glad you've tuned in. We pray that today's message is a blessing to you. If you desire prayer, our ministers are available to pray with you. Give us a call at 803-776-1238 or call us toll-free at 1-888-776-1238. Today, Pastor Daryl Jackson shares the message titled, God is Faithful.
Take this moment to say thank you. Because you have brought us from a mighty long ways. Bluff Road, Potbelly Stone, plastic on our windows, 13 members. But you brought us from a mighty long ways, and we say thank you. You didn't have to do it, but you did, and we say thank you. Now, Lord, let the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight, for you are our strength and our redeemer. It is in your name we pray and give thanks. Ooh. And the church said amen. Can we worship a little bit more, Lord? Why don't you leave your seats and wave at somebody and say, he brought me from a mighty long ways. Come on, go find somebody. Clap those hands, somebody. Tell the Lord hallelujah. Look at somebody and say, that is my testimony, that God has brought me. Somebody clap those hands. Deacon James Simmons, I leave you with these words. I told you so. Anybody that's been here for a while know where that came from. All Bishop Jackson would do when God blessed is Bishop would walk and say, I told you so. Told you that God would do just what God said he would do. Thank you, choir. Thank you, Janelle. Thank you, Sister Regina. Thank you, BJ. Thank you for the choir who has been here since 8 o'clock this morning. Thank you all. There's a word from the Lord. I just want to make sure I can preach. Can I preach? My sister Andrina, I'm going to act like I'm Bishop James Rawson today. I better be glad I can't sing. I'll sing and preach, amen. But I do feel like preaching, amen. Amen, amen. There is a word from the Lord for this day, for this occasion. The power of faithfulness has been our theme over the last several weeks. This is the culmination, final message in this series. The year of spiritual empowerment. God says, faithfulness matters. Look at someone and say, faithfulness matters. I invite you to the book of Lamentations, very popular and well-quoted scripture from this pulpit. Chapter 3, verses 21 to 23, and Deacon William T. Moore, in honor of you and all the old school members from the King James Version. Deacon Moore said, I see that you do have the Holy Ghost. From the King James Version, as my friend, the Reverend Dr. Trayvon Capers says, from the rusted King James Version. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 21 to 23. Prophet Jeremiah writes these words. This I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And we ask God's blessings on the reading and the hearing of his word. Today's subject consists of three words that I want you to remember for the rest of this week, rest of this year, for the rest of your lives. These three words. I need you to help me preach this. And I know we don't normally touch and agree, because I know COVID is still going around. But I prayed your deliverance before you touch right now. But just do me one favor. Grab somebody by the hands and say, neighbor, God is faithful. That's what I want to talk about. God is faithful. You may take your seats. Amen. For the past five messages, over the past 5 weeks, we have talked about the power of faithfulness. We've talked about it as it relates to spiritual empowerment, as one of the fruit of the Spirit. In fact, it is the seventh of nine fruit of the Spirit. But we have talked about the power of faithfulness for the past 5 weeks, five messages, from the perspective of our faithfulness. From the perspective of what does God expect from us. We began this series by simply saying, be steadfast and unmovable. Then we challenge each other to remain faithful in the little things. Faithful in the little things. Then we came back, I think it was message number 3, talked about faithful fellowship. Faithful fellowship. We've talked about faithful worshipers. We've talked about being faithful in times of distress. Someone say faithful. All of those messages. Oh, Phyllis and Roger, so good to see you all back there. God bless you. All of those messages were challenges to us as believers, as faith walkers, to remain faithful. However, today, as we prepare to conclude this series, God has said to us to shift the focus. No longer are we talking in this message about our faithfulness to God. We We want to talk about God's faithfulness to us. God's faithfulness to us. He didn't have to do it, but he did. The truth of the matter is that God has been faithful to us despite all of our mistakes, all of our failures, and all of our shortcomings. God has been faithful even when we didn't deserve it. God was still faithful. Even when we turned our backs on him, when we got mad at people and took it out on God, God remained faithful to us. Listen, there's a wonderful quote by an iconic theologian, the late Charles Spurgeon, who has been identified as one of the greatest theologians of generations in the past and generations to come. The late theologian, Dr. Charles Spurgeon, says, Dr. Cheryl Washington, you've heard this, I'm sure, and it has blessed my soul over and over again. He says, and I quote, "The glory of God's faithfulness is that no sin of ours have ever made him unfaithful to us." Can we say that again? Nothing we have done have made God turn his back on us. No mistake we've made, no failures in our life. When we got funny and started acting moody, God still woke us up every morning, clothing our right mind. Whew. Somebody say faithful. No matter how bad we were, God was still faithful. Listen, it is said that God's faithfulness, somebody help me say God's faithfulness. God's faithfulness simply means that he will always do what he said he would do. And he will always fulfill the words of his promise. You can count on it. The Bible said God is not a man that he should lie, or the son of man that he needs to repent. If God said it, you can count on it. How many of you are living on a promise that God made to your parents and your parents' parents? And I've got news for this now generation of young people who are basking and glowing in the wonderful blessings you are enjoying. Some of us are walking under the favor of grandmamas, granddaddies, and other folk prayed for us, took the time to pray for us. And so on this day, on this very special day here at Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, in which we celebrate 62 years of ministry, God said to me that it is important that we recognize, it is important that we celebrate God's faithfulness to us, not only as a ministry, but also individually. Because it's one thing to say God's been faithful to us, but it is another thing to say God's been faithful to me. Am I in the right place? Now you can collectively talk about us, but I've got news for you. I just believe that every last one of us with breath in our bodies has a me testimony that God has done something for you that only God could have done. Don't y'all fool me now, but I just believe everybody in here, even somebody who hasn't raised your hand yet, hasn't stood to your feet yet, you can think of just one thing that God has done for you that only God can. In fact, some of you got some public testimonies over some private deliverance. How many of you know that God brought you out of some stuff you don't even want anybody to know you were up in? Can I preach? He brought me from a mighty long way. He's a wonder. Look at somebody and say, he's a wonder for my soul. Oh, when you see me up in here, it is because God has not only been faithful to Bible Way, but God has been faithful to me. Oh, God has delivered me. Yes, he has. Anyone know? Yes, he has. Yes, he has. So when we declare and decree for everybody, tell somebody, you picked the wrong Sunday to sit by me, because I'm about to scream this next thing. Look at your neighbor, say, neighbor, God has been faithful to me. I've got a right to scream. I've got a right to holler. Woo! I've got a right to raise my hands. I've got a right to open my mouth. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Make a joyful noise unto the land, to God, all ye lands. Somebody ought to make some noise. Somebody ought to make some noise. Holler like you know you've been delivered. Woo! I need y'all to holler like God just scored a touchdown on your behalf. And unlike the Dallas Cowboys, God doesn't go in any slumps. Amen. He's the same yesterday, today. Look at somebody and say, he's still winning. He is still winning. May I preach this? Let us turn to the text. This incredible, iconic text that is found in the Book of Tears, otherwise known as the Book of Lamentations, written by the crybaby prophet, otherwise known as the weeping prophet, Jeremiah. The prophet Jeremiah, who did not mind or could not help showing his emotions, he writes these most powerful and profound words in the midst of sorrow and devastation. It's one thing to declare great is thy faithfulness after you've been delivered, but can you write about it in the midst of your trials? When pain racks your body, can you still declare God is good? All the time, all the time, God is good. Jeremiah, who was a prophet to the nation of Judah, the city of Jerusalem, found itself in a very, very depressed state. Its city had been burned down. Its temple had been destroyed. The walls of Jerusalem were crushed and demolished. Its enemies, the Babylonians, had invaded Judah and had taken its brightest, youngest superstars to live in a strange land in captivity. You've got to understand, Judah represented the praisers. Although Judah was the set when Israel split between Israel and Judah, but Judah represented the tribe, the praisers, the worshipers. What happens when the worshipers get crushed? What happens when the praisers feel like, I'm not sure if I can still praise God? Can we just be honest? Nobody is that deep. You are not that holy. There have been times in your life in which you didn't feel like praising God. I don't care if you're the pastor or the worship leader or whoever you may be. There have been times in your life you didn't feel like opening your mouth and praising God. But what happens when the enemy comes in like a flood? Can I tell you, the enemy always comes after the praisers first. The enemy always comes after the worshipers first. Because the enemy knows that the worshipers are the first lines of defense. When King Jehoshaphat were going to war, God says, put the praisers up front. And the enemy knows, if I can get to the praisers, if I can get you discouraged, if I can cause you to doubt your calling and to question your anointing, maybe you don't have the strength to lead somebody else into battle. But look at your neighbor, say, the devil is a liar. For God I live and God I die. Somebody in here know how to praise God broke, sick. Know how to praise God depressed. Know how to praise God after a divorce. Know how to praise God after surgery. Know how to praise God after chemo. Somebody in here know how to give God your best praise on your worst. Woo. Praisers need to keep praising God. So Jeremiah understood this. In fact, God understood this. God understood this. And so God raises up, listen to God, only God. Somebody said once that I think it was the late Dr. Billy Graham said God had to have a sense of humor, because only God would choose a crybaby prophet to send an encouraging word to somebody who's crying more than he is. And God says, Jeremiah, not only will I use you to be a word, but I'm going to use you as a testimony. And so God raises up the prophet Jeremiah. That Jeremiah that in Jeremiah chapter 20 said, my soul is in derision. That Jeremiah who said, everybody picks at me. Nobody wants to listen to me. And God sometimes takes the discouraged and encourage the discouraged so that the discouraged can encourage more discouraged people. Woo, can I preach? Tell your neighbor, God's just working on your testimony. And God's going to take your trials, your tribulations, so that you will be able to bless somebody else. So he raises up Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. He raises up Jeremiah, the crybaby prophet, as some called him. Jeremiah, the one that wanted to quit on God, but his word was like a burning fire shut up in his bones. And God gives him a word, and it is appropriate that God doesn't send this iconic word so that it can be buried in the volumes of the chapters of the book of Jeremiah. Because the book of Jeremiah is so long with so many chapters and deal with so many phases of the life of Israel and Judah that perhaps it would have gotten lost. So God raises him up to write another book. And its title expressed the sentiments of the mood of the people. Lamentations, which means tears. He raises up Jeremiah to speak a word to somebody who cried all night long. Before y'all get judgmental, I just want you to know that you cried too. In fact, the old song said, trouble in my way. I had to cry sometimes. I laid awake at night, but that's all right. Jesus will fix it after a while. Anybody ever had trouble in your way? Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the mornings. God writes an entire book that deals with tears of sorrow. And he allows the crybaby of the Old Testament to write this book and to bless somebody else. And buried in Jeremiah was chapter chapter 3 in Jeremiah's assignment was Lamentations chapter 3, verses 21 through 23. Take note of what Jeremiah writes to the people of Judah. He wanted them to know that this I recall to my mind. That let me make this personally. I'm not telling you what I heard. I'm telling you what I remembered about the God I serve. This I recall to my mind. Next time the enemy gets on your track trying to turn you back, let your mind go and rewind and press the rewind button and remind the devil that, you know what? God has brought me out of stuff like this before. Any witnesses? If he did it then, he can do it again. Jeremiah writes these words, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassion fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. I thought I'll leave you with three key insights, three key observational principles that are found in the text that I want to leave you real simple, that I hope you can remember not only today, tomorrow, the rest of this year, and forevermore. Three key insights buried in these three verses. Number one is this: God has always been faithful. May I preach this? Here is what Jeremiah writes. This I recall to mind. Therefore, have I hope. Next time the enemy gets on your track, you ought to remember something about the God you serve, that God has always been faithful. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, God has always been faithful. Jeremiah found strength by looking back and recalling how faithful God had been to the people of Israel and Judah, including himself. That's good for Judah. But can I preach about us? Look at somebody and say, we too should look back and remember that God has always been faithful. Can I get a witness? Y'all help me out. Can I get at least 100 folk to let me know that what I'm saying is true, that God has always been faithful. God held us together when we were falling apart. God healed our bodies when we were sick. God forgave us when we messed up. So I'm going to try it one more time. God has always been. Yes, he has. Yes. Yes. Now, my friend, my colleague, Pastor Aaron Bishop, blessed us on Tuesday night. And I told him I'm going to use it, but notice I gave him credit. I'm not a plagiarizer, okay? I gave him a little credit, but I need you to look at your neighbor one more time. Catch your neighbor by the hand and say, neighbor, we have receipts that God has always been faithful. Food on my table. Wave at somebody in the balcony and say, we have receipts. Tell the devil, I can't. the receipts. I kept the receipts because I wanted to remind the devil that God has brought me out before. This isn't the first time that I've been broke, sick, or in trouble. But God, can I get 100 agile, mobile folk to leap one time and say, but God? May I preach? Can I preach? Wave at your neighbor, say, neighbor, I have kept the receipts. Y'all, this is anniversary, and we don't have an evening service, so I'm gonna take my time to preach. I told you on Tuesday night, Pastor Lawson, to the dismay of my financial advisor and one of my very best friends who lives in Charleston, I have 25 years of tax returns. In fact, it goes back longer than that. After Tuesday, I double checked, and I think I've got every tax return I've ever filed. And my advisor and good friend say, you know you don't have to go back no more than about 4, maybe 7 years. And I say, however, it's not to prove to the IRS, but it is to show me where the Lord has brought me. I got a tax return, Elder Harold Cuff, that I was so broke that when I filed my tax returns, I would go to a friend and borrow my refund money before they could pay my refund. And one of my good friends said, you know I'm gonna charge you some interest, because if you are that broke that you can't wait on your refund, I'm gonna charge you a little interest. But every now and then, I open my drawer, I look at my tax return and say, look where the Lord has brought me from. Give a neighbor a high five and say, neighbor, I kept the receipts. I kept the receipts. If y'all can't shout, shout for me. Give God a praise that God. I think I'm gonna go home after church and pull my 1982 tax returns when I had to pray so hard, and I'ma have me a party in my own worship center. I'ma shout in my own office and say, look, look where the Lord has. Woo! You owe God a praise. God of praise. Tell your neighbor, neighbor, I know you don't praise God every Sunday, but this one Sunday, I need you to help me. 1, 2, 3. Woo! Go tell 3 people, I kept the receipts. Tell somebody, I kept the receipts. Come on, y'all. Y'all know I ain't got but one song. Here's my testimony. tell somebody, God has always been faithful. I should have lost my mind 5 years ago, but God, woo, some of you should still be locked up right now, but God, some of you buried your friends, but God allowed you to live. She's the caretaker for her mother 24/7, and she's never lost her praise. She's never blamed God. So if y'all can't praise God for anything else, praise God for Sister Regina Skeeter. Lift those hands. Not only has God always been faithful, real briefly, throw it up on the board for me. God is still faithful. Insight number two, God is still faithful. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. The only reason you are still standing is because God is still faithful. And here's the third and the final one. They are new every morning. God will always be faithful. Every morning you wake up for the rest of your life, for generations and generations to come. God gave me this last statement. I was praying hard for my grandchildren. Praying hard. Lord, what kind of world do they have to come up in? Praying for my grandchildren, even with special needs in their life. God reminded me, Mother, I've always been faithful. And here's what God dropped in my spirit. The last thing I wrote down in this message was that God's faithfulness transcends time and generations. Listen to this. Listen to this. He was faithful yesterday to previous generations. Woo! Yeah. Woo! He is faithful today in our generations. And he will be faithful tomorrow and for generations. Woo! And generations and generations. Woo! Andrina is already done. Your grandchildren are already blessed for generations and generations. Woo. Here's what God said to me. God said to me, Daryl, it would be a sad commentary if all you could say about me is that I have been faithful. He said, but I've added to that statement. You can say I'm still faithful and I will always be faithful. So to my grandson, Drew, it's already done. To my granddaughter, Kimbrielle, in Sandy Springs, Georgia, it's already done. Yes. To your grandchildren, to your children's children. No weapon. Thank you, Lord. Great is your mercy towards me. Your loving kindness towards me. Your tender mercies I see day after day. Forever faithful towards me. Always providing for me. Great is your mercy towards me. Great is your grace. DJ, you are my blessing. You're my blessing, son. Antoine, you're my blessing. I don't care if God doesn't do anything else for me. He's already done enough. He's blessed me over. Mother Jackson, he's blessed you with children and your children's children. And now your children's children have children. Somebody help me worship. Everybody, great is great.
Your mercy towards me. Your loving kindness towards me. Your tender mercies I see.
Lord.
Day after day.
Thank you, Lord.
And you're always providing.
Always providing. Who needs to be at this altar. God told me, you don't normally come to the altar, but God says, if you trust me, if you walk out by faith right now, come on, that's right. Somebody else. God said, your blessing is at the altar. Come on, that's right. Come on, your loving kindness. Come on, Antoine. Yeah, yeah. Day after.
Day after day.
So, a day before my dad died, he called all of us. My mother just said he wanted to speak to everybody. And he said to me, go find Antoine. I didn't want to tell him that when Antoine comes in here, he's going to smell like marijuana. Because I got to go get him off the street. Dad said, go get him. And I remember in his room, Mom, you were there. My dad was holding his hand so tight. Mom said to him, baby, his hands are loose. Dad couldn't really talk clearly. Tears were streaming down my eyes like I'm crying right now. Dad looked at me and he says, it's going to be all right. And what God reminded me last week was not only was God faithful to my father, not only is God faithful to me, but God has been faithful to my son, my sons, DJ, Antoine, and to their descendants. So I declare and decree that if God can do it for the Jacksons, God can do it for you and your family. Come on, great is, come on. So I want Antoine to have this final prayer and benediction because this is a testimony of what God can do. He's not perfect. I am not perfect. Bishop Jackson wasn't perfect. But we all are testimonies of what God can do. And look at somebody and say, God's not through blessing yet. Come on, come on, team. God bless you.
Just indulge us, as Pastor said, and we know certain protocols, and if you're not comfortable doing this, but would you just grab your neighbor by the hand and just, if we can, cross the aisles and connect in this sacred moment. The theological understanding of faithfulness, God faithfulness, is these three things as I understand it in studying the Bible. God is dependable. God is consistent. And God always keeps his promises. Let me say that again to get on the devil's nerves. This is the theological understanding of God's faithfulness. God is consistent. That means if he did it before, he's promised he would do it again. God is dependable. That means he would never leave us or forsake us in the time of need. And God always keeps his promise. You're looking at a promise. If you look around, look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you're looking at a promise. Let us bow our heads and go before the throne of grace. Dear Lord, dear Father, our Savior, our King's Redeemer, before we ask for anything, we just want to say thank you for everything. Thank you, Lord, for being faithful. Thank you, Lord, for pulling us out of danger, seen and unseen. Thank you, Lord, for being faithful in our finances. Thank you, Lord, being faithful in our health. Thank you, Lord, being faithful in our family. Thank you, Lord, being faithful in our church. Thank you, Lord, being faithful in our marriages. Thank you, Lord, for being faithful when things that we started, but we didn't finish, but you still have the last say so. And as we understand it, as we know your character, as we know who you are, you have promised us that you will never leave us. You will never forsake us, especially in the time of need, dear God. Dear God, we're praying for every individual that is at this altar. We're praying for every person that is under the sound of my voice. Dear God, you know what they need. If they need healing, they are already healed. If they need restoration, they are already restored in the name of Jesus. We are praying right now for everybody. Thank you for our senior pastor. Dear God, we pray for his body. We pray for his soul. Dear God, his spirit, man. Raise him up afresh, dear God, as he finished the year strong, dear God. Whatever infirmities that he is going through, you say in your word, by your stripes, he is already healed. Thank you for Associate Pastor Willie Mae Jackson. Continue to give her the wisdom. Continue to give her the discernment. Continue to give her the fire to stand side by side with our senior pastor. Thank you for Assistant Pastor Randall Mac Jackson, dear God. Continue to give him the wisdom. Continue to give him the leadership that we need in this season. Dear God, thank you for all these members that at one time helped us to be here at this moment. Every one of you, the ones that are here, the ones that are no longer here, and we are speaking right now, the ones that are about to come in the door. We know that you are faithful. And because of that, we can say thank you. So thank you, God. Let the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable to you, God, for you are our Redeemer. Come on, all God's people say amen. 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 Come on, let's praise God. Come on, we can worship God, for God is faithful. Is anybody here that wants to give their life to Christ? You want to experience God on another level. You want to have God as this, not just something you do, but who you are. We don't want to just be something you check the box off. We want to make a serious transformation. If anybody wants to be transformed, anybody want to get baptized, anybody, come on, let's praise God for this family right here. Let's praise God for this man and this lady and this young man. Come on, we can worship God right now. Come on, Bible Way. Come on, Bible Way. Let's praise God. God bless you, sir. Thank you so much for taking this step. Thank you. You'll be led by our leaders and our ministers. Come on, Bible Way. We can praise God for three souls.
You've been listening to the worship services of the Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, where Daryl Jackson is our pastor. Our worship services are open to all at 2440 Atlas Road in Columbia, South Carolina, just off I-77 between Shop and Bluff Roads. We will continue to air our services here on the radio. We're also streaming live on our website, bwcar.org, or on Facebook at Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, and now on YouTube. Our streaming services are available live on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 11 a.m., and on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. If you've missed any of our services and would like to watch them again, you can get them on demand on any of our social media channels. We invite you to stay in spiritual fellowship with us. To place your order for CD or DVD of today's message entitled, God is Faithful, please call us at 803-776-1238, reference sermon number 110925. Again, the number is 803-776-1238, sermon number 110925, Tuesday, November 18th at 7 p.m. in the sanctuary. Join us for midweek services with Pastor Willie Mae Jackson. We praise God for the testimonies of those who have received Christ and now have a deeper relationship with God as a result of this ministry. To sow a financial seed into this ministry, you can give online by checking the link on our website at bwcar.org, or you can give right from your mobile phone by texting BWCAR and your giving amount to 73256. That's 73256. You can also mail your gift to Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, Post Office Box 90309, Columbia, South Carolina 29290. Please don't mail cash. Financial donations are being accepted at the church on Tuesdays from 12 noon until 6 p.m. Thank you for your continued support of this ministry. At Bible Way, our mission is to know God, to love, and to serve.